Hi guys, my name is Nefe and welcome to the Let's Talk Nigeria show with Nefe. Yes, it's great to be in your ears again. First of all, I'd like to apologize for taking so long to release the next episode. I didn't run anyway. I just had a lot on my plates, a whole lot that I couldn't just create the time to record. Even though I had stuff to say, it was just too much to handle at the moment. You know, even one of my friends reached out to me and said, Baba, did you run away? Are you okay? Did they arrest you? You know, but I'm here and yeah, the podcast is still here. So yeah, thank you for anyone who was concerned and thank you for constantly listening. You know, I'm always grateful. I'm always grateful to my listeners. You guys make me do this. So yeah, the last episode we talked about the problems facing sports people in Nigeria, the challenges they face, how the government doesn't just make it easy for them to achieve their dreams as sports people to even represent the same country. You know, on the show we had a very brilliant guest, Maiwa Balogun, who currently has an entertainment company that, you know, funds these sports people, boxers and athletes, to help them get the best of their game. And it was a really good one. If you haven't listened to it, you should listen to it. You know, I remember when I said that, when I put out the flyer that there was an episode with me and Maiwa, a mutual friend of mine reached out to me and said, is this Battle of the Rappers? The reason being that I talk fast, Maiwa talks fast. So they were expecting us to be rapping trouble. I mean, I try to watch my speed on the episode. And I'm sure the episode was a really good one, regardless of the speed of our voices. But we both tried. We're both conscious of it. And yeah, it was good. If you haven't listened to it, listen to it. Well, if I'm not mistaken, it's roughly a month to the inauguration of the president-elect, or select, as some would like to call it. And, you know, it's just funny because never, since I've started following Nigerian history, never have I seen a president with so much controversy. You know, there's so much shadiness, from his age, his education background, to source of wealth. Most recently, there's been the issue of his dual citizenship. And it's funny because everybody knows that to be an elected office holder in Nigeria, you cannot have dual citizenship. Not to talk of the number one position. But it's funny how a lot of takes are coming. People are trying to bend the law. People are trying to bend the rules. And, you know, it's just funny how everybody's trying to bend rules just to install one man. You know, it's just really sad because, I mean, if you ask me, I'll say, you know, let's suspend the whole process. Let there be proper investigation, proper research. Let's be sure of who we are getting into that position, you know. But it seems nobody seems to care. But the danger of it is when you allow such a thing, when you bend rules for one person, then be ready to bend rules for many more people, you know. But I mean, that's really not my issue right now. I mean, one of the things that really, really hurts me over the past couple of days is seeing the news about Sudan, you know, and the fact that the headline I saw was a Nigerian student trapped in Sudan. And I was like, wait, hold up. Nigerians now go to Sudan to school. Hey, wahala. I mean, no shade to Sudan. Sudanese people, I mean no harm if you are listening. I mean no insult, but Nigerian school in Sudan. Oh, man. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's no ASUU strike there. So it's probably a better option than coming to our government schools. Yeah, but first of all, it's sad to hear. You know, I mean, this is Nigeria. We know where we're coming from. We used to be the giant of Africa, not just by title. Right now, we are giant of Africa by mouth, but we used to actually be the giant of Africa. This is Nigeria that was offering scholarships to African countries for their students to come out of school. This is a Nigeria that would intervene in wars, you know, ECOMOG, peacekeeping. We sent peacekeepers to Togo, to Sao Tome and Principe. This is the same Nigeria now that cannot evacuate their students from Sudan. You know, I mean, I think it was France that was the first country to reach out to rescue their nationals, Germany, and then England. If I'm not mistaken, I saw in the news that today by 6 p.m., that Saturday by 6 p.m., the last plane pulling out British nationals will be leaving. So everybody, any Briton that has not yet been evacuated should try and make it to the anchor point. Everybody's doing it. But what is my government doing? I read on the news yesterday that $1.2 million is what was budgeted, or rather was what was spent to hire 40 vehicles to rescue these people. $1.2 million was used to hire buses. Not buy the buses, hire. So that is 30,000 per bus. I mean, it blew my mind. $30,000, not naira, dollars. I don't even want to do the conversion. Dollars per bus. You know, and it's sad because Like I always say, when Yahweh wants to gas, he doesn't care your tribe. When we want to pay the price of incompetent leadership, he doesn't care your price. I'm pretty sure there are people from the north that are trapped in Sudan. There are people from Hausa or Fulani that are trapped in Sudan also. When the Sudanese war is breaking out, he's not saying, okay, because Buhari is from this side, let's let these people, only Buhari people, be safe. No, everybody's in danger. And that's what I'm trying to say, that look, the more we pick tribe over competence, every one of us will pay the price. Whether it's our tribesman that is there or not, all of us are going to pay the price, because incompetence knows no tribe. So why do we keep picking tribe over competence? You know, and it's just sad. I mean, the other day I was reading that the owner of Airpeace, an Igbo man, has volunteered his planes to rescue. It's not a thing of, oh, I'm going to rescue only the Igbos or only people from the east or from the south. No, it's rescuing everybody. And that's how the government should be. You know, it's just really sad that Nigerian citizens went to school in Sudan and now they are trapped there, and the government is spending $1.2 million to rescue them. And even the videos and clips I saw yesterday showed students who were saying that they still had to pay to get on those buses. So somewhere, I don't even know, I mean, but that's not what I want to talk about today. You know,
I've been reading over the past couple of weeks, for the last 3 to 4 weeks. I'm a very slow reader, so I've been reading There Was a Country by Chinua Achebe. You know, every now and then I like to watch Nigerian documentaries. I like to pick out occasions or pick out events in the history of Nigeria and just read about it, do research about it, you know, watch documentaries, read people's interviews about it, just so that I'll have a good understanding of what really happened, you know. And I read the book There Was a Country by Chinua Achebe. It's the second of his book I'm reading, and first of all, I like how simple his books are to understand. You know, there's no big grammar, it's very well detailed. You know, you can read it and have a picture of what happened in your head. You know, it's very well explanatory. You know, he paints a good picture with his words. And I mean, big ups to Chinua Achebe, may so rest in peace, one of the greatest writers Nigeria ever had.
And I'll start by, I think there's a chapter in the book where it talked about the lucky generation. And if you read it, you would see how good Nigeria was prior independence, the early years of Nigeria, before all the chaos started coming, before corruption set in. You know, we saw how the son of anybody could be somebody. We saw how Nigeria was the giant of Africa. We saw how it was the envy of every other African nation. But where is Nigeria now? But one of the things I like about the book is that it gives you real-time account of things that happened. You know,
reading that book gave me a different view of the Civil War. You know, I've watched different documentaries on the Civil War, but this is the first time I'm reading it or watching something that records it from the Biafran side of things. You know, I read the book from you know, start talking about what happened between independence, you know, the first coup, the counter coup, up until the Civil War in 1967. And after reading that book, if those events didn't happen, I would have said Chinua Achebe was a prophet, because everything he wrote about is what's still playing out. Majority of it is what played out in the last election. Maybe not as bad as it was back then, but we're still seeing signs of it. You know, last year I read his book, The Trouble with Nigeria, and almost everything he talked about are things that are still happening. And it makes me ask the question, do we ever learn? You know, Martin Luther said, in order to go forward, we have to take a good look at what happened behind. We need to evaluate our past. And I feel like Nigerian citizens, the country as a whole, we need to take a pause. We need to evaluate the past. You know, we need to see the problems that are recurring. I mean, they say only a fool will do something, will repeatedly do something the same way and expect to have a different result. And that's what's happening in Nigeria right now. There is a lot of tribalism going on. You know, all of these things are things that led to the coups, led to the civil war, led to millions of Nigerians in Biafra. So I'm going to say Biafra for the purpose of the book. Millions of Biafras murdered. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not like I'm an IPOP apologist, but if these things happen, let's say the truth. If people were murdered, if people were slaughtered. I remember when there was a lot of discrimination in Lagos during the last election against non-Yorubas or people that don't even look Yoruba, you know, and somebody went on Twitter to say, We should go and look at the Rwanda genocide, and if we look at it, we won't be foiling all these tribal hate. And as much as I agree with the person, I feel like the Rwanda genocide is too far. Let's go and look at what happened in the north, the pogroms, where over 30,000 Igbos were systematically killed. You know, and what my question now is, what point do we learn from history? What point do we put this tribalism aside? What point do we understand that this system of government that we are practicing, it's not working? Because Nigeria is too complex for this sort of democracy we're practicing. Nigeria is too divided tribally for this kind of government we're practicing. We need a point where we realize that we need a form of federalism where everybody is responsible for themselves, where, you know, until we get to that point, I mean it's going to be a tussle. It's going to continually be a power tussle. It's going to be we're going to continually have election violence. Will continually have people feel like they are underrepresented. Will continually have people feel like they are being cheated. You know, and my this is my challenge to everybody listening today. If you do not know so much about Nigerian history, I challenge you in this coming week, in this coming month, when going to the month of May, pick a book on Nigerian history, watch documentaries. And I mean we watch Netflix series. Some of you are watching Obsession or Beef now. You know, you're watching. You pick a documentary, commit 1 hour every week to learning something new about Nigeria. It gives you a view of what really happened. It helps you understand where we are as a country, and it helps you be able to predict what's going to happen. You know, until we get to know our history and understand that, look, we're treading on dangerous grounds. We're saying a lot of things on social media that shouldn't be said. We need to get to know this history and understand that We can't continue fueling this thing for temporary gain, because when Yawa will gas, like I always say, it's going to touch everybody. I'm not praying for Yawa to gas, but I'm just saying, let us take our time to learn our history. And when you read or when you do research about Nigeria, don't just look at it from one side. So, like I was saying, because before now, I've only looked at the Biafran War from the Nigerian side. I had a partial, in the words of Chimamanda, had a single story, but I read it now from the Ibiafra side. I have a holistic view of what really happened. You know, I can picture things that happened, and it makes me appreciate people's situations better. So go out there this week, you know, read, understand what is really going on, understand what has happened. So I don't just go to Twitter and argue what your uncle or your auntie told you, you know.
And apart from having a holistic view, you realize that when you go through our history properly, you realize that a lot of people we celebrate aren't worth celebrating. You know, we have national heroes who have no business being national heroes. We have people who have streets named after them. There are people on our Naira notes. We have people who have holidays in their honor who do not deserve it. You know, these are people who foiled tribal hate for their selfish gain. These are people who foiled violence just because of what they stood to gain. These are people who, you know, these are people who were thieves. You know, and when we have such people as our national heroes, I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, we have a society where fraud and theft is the order of the day, where right now people are still fueling tribal hate to get what they want, you know. So we need to understand our history. We need to understand, who are these people? Are they really heroes? Have they just been lied to us using the media? You know what? And that's why I'm challenging you this month, you know, to your own story. Know about where you come from. Know about our history. Know about Nigeria. Also, another thing, if you remember last year, I worked on the project that I called Nightmare. It was a magazine where I lighted some of the ills and the failures of the current government and how I hope we shine our eyes and make a better decision in the last elections. You know, I'm working on a new project which will highlight some key players in Nigerian history, up from independence up until the Civil War. You know, just tell their story, you know, in a magazine format like the last one, and I'll share it out. I'm hoping to be done with it by June. So when it's ready, I'll definitely publish it for you guys. No, but my point in today's episode is, we need to know our history. We need to know our history, because if we don't, we're doomed. We need to know our history. You know, people have been cheated. People have lost lives. People have been victimized. People were starved. You know, we just have a country that, like, let me use the word that they say, it's just coasting on vibes. It's just coasting on vibes, because the tribal neglect, the impunity in government, all of this, it's just a cycle that keeps happening. And I keep asking myself, at what point are we going to get it right? At what point are we going to be one Nigeria? We may never be one Nigeria, but at what point will we have a system of government that favors every Nigerian citizen? You know, so take up my challenge this week, read a book, watch a documentary, and
let's get to know more about our country. And like I said, if you haven't listened to the last episode, please listen to it. Let's keep praying for the people in Sudan. Let's keep hoping that the right thing is done and they are returned safely. That's pretty much it here. So thank you guys so much for listening. God bless you and God bless the Federal Republic of Nigeria.